All right. Well, thank you so much for being here today. Are you guys happy to be in the house of the Lord? Yeah, it's great. Hey, we just witnessed a whole lot of life change, eternity change in the first hour. We're going to see even more. They were still counseling as this service was starting. People were still being counseled. And I don't even know all of the stories yet. I know a few of them, but here's what I know. Some of you are going to make the most important decision of your life today. Some of you are going to make the most important step of obedience in your life today. You say, well, I didn't come prepared for that. Well, Jesus is prepared and your church is prepared. We're ready. And I want to do something totally different, okay? I want to encourage you before I jump in here so I don't forget. Next week, He's Alive, a sermon in songs. I promise you, you've never seen a sermon like this before. It's not a passion play. It's not some full-scale drama. It's very simple. I'll be doing some teaching, singing, costumes. We're going to, and kids, it'll be fine. It will not be graphic at all. There won't be, you know, Jesus will be showing up, but it won't be, you know, overly graphic or anything. So it'd be fine. We do have all of our children's ministries in all three services next week. But 5 p.m. Saturday, 9 and 10:30 Sunday, Easter Sunday, we really want you to come. Make sure as you hear Jeff tell you at the end, get you a little reminder card. It's not a ticket, but it sort of looks like this. I'll be back. So it looks like this. It's got a QR code on it. You don't have to have it to come, but it helps you. Like I was inviting some neighbors yesterday. It helps you just say, hey, this is what's going on. I promise it's different. I personally need your prayers. My voice is certainly not what it was years ago. It's like a muscle, and I haven't worked it out very much other than talking probably too much. But I do want you to pray for God's, just to be able to see the gospel, guys. Sometimes people learn by hearing. I, for one, learn by music and sight. If I can see it, I'll probably remember it. And if I hear it in a song, I'll probably remember. That's what God uses in my life. I think a lot of you probably learn through music. And a lot of you probably remember better through seeing it. So that's why you see this big canvas in front of you today. I'm going to do what God's laid on my heart to try to show you something very, very important. Now, why am I going to do this? Well, we're in this season on this Palm Sunday where new life is springing all around us. Now, I know we're in like, what, is this third winter in East Tennessee right now? I can't believe it. Got up this morning, I thought, wow, here we go again. But new life is springing. We got extravaganza this afternoon. Don't forget that, by the way. We bumped it because of the weather yesterday morning, but it's this afternoon. We want you to come out, check our social media for all the details. But you know, I want us to see God doing exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or think. He's bursting forth new life and color all around us. Why not in the house of the Lord? And I'm going to ask that God does three things here today. This has been my prayer, okay? Let me give you the three things so that you're clear on the expectation. Number one, I'm praying that people that have never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior will come to faith in Christ today and nail it down. Some of you that don't know that you know that you know, you're a little fuzzy on your faith, I want to nail it down today. I want you to be sure that you walk with God through Christ. Second thing, some of you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you've never actually been obedient in biblical believers' baptism. I'm going to talk about how and when and the mode. I'm going to show you that today. We're going to discuss it. We're going to really dig down into that. Some of you, like a sweet family I just met, just need to be obedient to follow through with biblical believers' baptism. Some of you know that you got saved, but you had gone through the water earlier, maybe as a child. But then you knew in college or maybe young adulthood, you really gave your life to Christ. Well, I would submit to you, you've never been baptized because we don't rebaptize here. Your baptism is simply out of order. Your baptism is much like putting this ring on the finger of an unmarried man. Doesn't matter if he's not in the covenant. This external symbol only matters when there's a covenant attached to it. And so I really want you to be obedient to the faith and get your baptism right because baptism is the first step of public obedience for a Christian. And then the third thing I want to accomplish is that you get a simple way to share faith, to share the gospel, and to share the picture of baptism with people around you. I promise you, I am the least visually artistic person you're going to meet. What I put up here today, a five-year-old can replicate and make it look better. So on your note sheet today, if you'll grab that, if you got a Grace Notes, it's blank. You got all the verses in the order I'm going to give them to you so you know the references. But it's blank because I want you to take it. Here's a mini picture of what I'm doing. Are y'all ready? Boom, right there. Did you see it? Okay, I'm going to show it to you. I'd like you to replicate it on your sheet of paper. The true artist among us, you'll be able to do an amazing job with this. Or you'll be able to go home and take it and make it much better. I wanted to keep it so simple, a child could do this on a napkin. A kid could show another kid at the lunch table, hey, this is what preacher, in fact, I believe in this so much that it can show you the gospel and show you baptism. I believe in it so much, I'm going to do it for our all-school chapel. There'll be probably 1,300 kids in here Thursday. And all the teachers in this room will be packed with GCA kids, Grace Christian Academy students. And I'm going to do the same thing for them. So some of you will see it twice. But I want it to be transferable. So what do I mean here? Accept Christ, follow him in obedience, and share his truth. That's what we are aiming for today. And so let's jump right into it. And let me start by getting all my materials here. And we're going to keep it really simple. Whatever I do on here, I just want you to replicate on your paper. And we're going to start way up high with a big fluffy cloud. Okay? Now, I know you probably don't have blue spray paint on you, but just do the best you can and draw you a nice cloud up in the top left corner. You may want to turn your sheet sideways. And then I'm going to do a line coming from that cloud. And then I'm going to draw something right here. Now, again, I'm really bad at drawing, but maybe you guys will be able to figure out what I'm drawing. Anybody want to take a guess what that is? I love the children of Grace. Thank you very much. The adults are going, I don't know what that is. Okay, the kids got it. It is a manger. Okay, same children. What holiday is this? Hey, we got some geniuses among us. This is Christmas. We call this the incarnation. Incarne means in the flesh, okay? It means in the flesh. God came to earth in the flesh. Look at your screens. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus has always been with God. I'm just going to represent heaven with a cloud. It's the best I can do. I know God's not sitting on a cloud. I know people don't die and get wings and sit on clouds strumming harps. That sounds unbelievably boring, so we're not going to do that. But we're going to represent God in the cloud, and we're going to say that Jesus has always been with God in heaven from the very beginning, because the word logos means Jesus. So Jesus has always been with God. Jesus is God, in fact. But all the world faiths, all of them. We were in Egypt 2 weeks ago, and some of the Muslim guides were telling us about the five pillars of Islam. Right now, they're in the month of Ramadan. All the major world faiths teach, do this or that or this and that, and maybe you can be right with God or the gods if they're polytheistic. Christianity alone, Christianity uniquely, biblical Christianity above all other faiths says it's not about mankind working their way to God. God came to us. Look at the next verse. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And what that means is when you see Jesus, whether he's in the manger or later through his life or even risen, when you see Jesus, you see God. Jesus is God in the flesh. And so I want you to think incarnation, coming down. That really is the first picture I want you to think of the gospel. And remember, this was planned from eternity past. The Bible says in the fullness of time, God sent his son. He sent him for a very specific reason. Now, question, what do we know about Jesus from this point forward? We know very little about Jesus as a baby. The Bible doesn't give us a lot of detail. It says the first worshipers there at the stable or the place where the manger was, that's why we believe it was a stable, a feeding trough, the first witnesses were shepherds. They were keeping watch over their flock by night, And then they saw the angelic messenger and then the angelic host. They didn't see the star. That was the wise men from the east. But they were told, go and you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloth. I want you to go and worship the child that's in the manger. He is your Messiah. So they went. We see very little about Jesus then until he's a little bit older, probably toddler-ish, because we know that because of Herod's murder of all the little boys in and around Jerusalem, including Bethlehem. And so the Holy Family is told, get out. They go down to Egypt. It's called the flight to Egypt. It's in Matthew chapter 2. And so we find that just before they leave Egypt, the wise men, maybe three, we don't know, but three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they bring to worship the little child. It's not the word infant, it's small child. So we see Jesus as a small child. Then we only see one more snapshot of boy Jesus, and it's when he's 12 years old. His parents go to worship in Jerusalem. There's a huge party of people, but Jesus stays back in the temple speaking, asking questions. The religious leaders are confounded, and they say, what wisdom in this young man? Well, because it's God in flesh. His parents finally come back and find him. Son, what are you doing? Did you not know? I must be about my father's business. So we see very little of Jesus. Baby, toddler, 12 years old. The next time we see Jesus Christ in the Bible, and I don't mean speculation, I mean biblical reality. The next time we see Jesus, he's going to his cousin. His cousin, kind of a different sort of guy, out in the wilderness is at a river. What's the name of the river? The Jordan River, you can draw the water there. And John the Baptist is baptizing at the Jordan River. Now, I know this next one's going to be really hard for you to replicate, but now we're going to see Jesus getting baptized in the Jordan River. Do the best you can to draw as good as me, okay? Everybody with me. Jesus is in the Jordan with John. What does this indicate? Listen, the public start of his ministry. This is how Jesus introduces himself as Messiah to the world. Now, does baptism save anyone? Absolutely not. Jesus didn't need saving. We don't get baptized to be saved. We get baptized because God said, do it. It's the right thing. We get baptized just like I wear a wedding ring. By choice. It doesn't make me a married man. It shows that I'm a married man, and it keeps all the crazy women that want me at bay. I'm kidding about that. Here's the reality, though. The reality is Jesus was being obedient. You say, how do you know? Look at Matthew 3 on the screen. Jesus came from Galilee to John to the Jordan to be baptized by him. John said, whoa, cuz. That's the Lewis translation. I need to be baptized by you, but you're coming to me. Jesus said, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. What does that mean? Look at the first five letters. I underlined it, R-I-G-H-T. Jesus said, doing this is the right thing. Now I'm going to prove to you that it's the right thing because we see a picture of the triune God right here. God the Father is going to speak and favor the obedience of God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is going to come down as a form of a dove and alight on him. All three members of the triune Godhead are going to show us this is the right thing to do. But before we see it, I want you to notice something. John allowed Jesus. John baptized Jesus. When he had been baptized, Jesus, look at this, came up immediately. Every time baptism is described in the Bible with descriptive language, every single time it's described as going down into and or coming up out of water. This is why you that have been sprinkled, with all due respect, have not been baptized according to the Bible's standard. You who have been effused or poured, again, with respect, you have not been baptized according to biblical standards. Teaching. I'll show you that again in a moment. But when Jesus came up immediately, the heavens were opened. The Spirit of God descended as a dove alighting on him. A voice came from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Everybody that follows in trusting Christ and then being baptized gets the favor of God, their creator. I'll also show you why we know sprinkling and pouring are not biblical baptism. Look at John 3:23. John was also baptizing in Anan near Salim because there was what, church? Much water there. I promise you don't need much water to sprinkle or pour on a person. But every time baptism is described, it's described like Jesus being baptized. Plus, best evidence of all, the Greek word baptizo simply means to dip, submerge, or plunge beneath. It's always meant that. It will always mean that. It doesn't mean to cleanse. That's a different word in Greek, kathargizo. Baptizo, where we get the word baptism, means dip, submerge, plunge beneath. It's always meant that. It will always mean that. That's simply the word's meaning. I'll give you another piece of evidence. Acts 8, they were on the road. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch reading from the prophet Isaiah. He believed what he read. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, look, Peter, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? I'm sorry, I said Peter. Philip. Philip, the evangelist, said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Belief always precedes baptism. It's why we don't pedo-baptize. We do not baptize infants because they cannot express personal belief. Belief always precedes baptism. And so he said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He didn't write a theological treaty. He didn't go to seminary. He didn't learn ancient language. He simply said, I believe. In expressing belief, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch, anybody notice the language, went down into the water. Do you see that? They have to go down into that water. They didn't simply take the canteen in the chariot, which they would have certainly had in the wilderness. They went down into the water and he baptized him. And when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away and the eunuch saw him no more, but he went on his way rejoicing. Why did he rejoice? Because he had been obedient. He had done the right thing. Just like Jesus said, he commanded two things for the church, two ordinances. He said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. That's the Lord's Supper. And he commanded another ordinance, be baptized. Follow me, not to be saved, not to wash away your sin, but because you have been saved and your sin has been washed away, trust me and be baptized. And then we know that Jesus ministers for about 3.5 years from the start of his baptism. He's now about 33.5 years of age. But something very important is going to happen. Jesus sets his face toward Jerusalem. At the end of his earthly ministry, he sets his face because the prophecies of the Old Testament said that the Messiah would pay the ultimate price just outside of the holy city walls. And there was a place like that, a place of the skull. We don't know really if it was a hill. We assume it was because what would a skull look like? It would be sort of a hilly area. And we know that Jesus set his face there to go and to do something very, very important for you and for me. And we know that our Lord Jesus would go to a hill called Mount Calvary, or a mound, or a skull-like place. So if you can draw a mountain, please. And what I want you to think about is on Palm Sunday, the week before Easter, Palm Sunday, Jesus would enter the holy city of Jerusalem. That's today, Palm Sunday. They would wave palm branches at him. You've seen the date palms maybe in the pictures of the Holy Land. They would cut these branches and wave them and lay them on the road and lay their clothing down, and they would say, Hosanna! Means the Lord saves. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they all cheered for him. And those who cheered, crown him, would a few days later cry, crucify him. But he had his gait and his face set. And why did he go? Well, the Bible is very, very clear. He went to the old rugged cross. He went to pay the price. I want you to see this in the Bible. John 10, therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Now watch, no one takes it from me. The Jews didn't take Jesus' life. The Romans didn't take Jesus' life. You may say, my sin took Jesus' life. Jesus willingly laid his life down to cleanse your sin. Jesus willingly gave his blood so that you wouldn't have to shed yours. Jesus, the Lamb of God, willingly surrendered. He said, no one takes my life, but I lay it down, and I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up. And this command I've received from my Father. And I want you to think about this now. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. There was always a sacrifice. Life was always represented by blood, and yet the animals had to stop being killed. God, in the fullness of time, said, enough is enough. I will send one lamb, the perfect lamb. As John said when Jesus was walking toward him, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. There's one lamb. There's one perfect sacrifice. Jesus is that. Listen to the beginning of 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered to you first which I received, Paul said, that Christ died, why? For our sins, according to what? The scriptures. Christ died for your sins. This is not you working your way to God. This is God, incarnation, coming to you. Jesus willingly standing publicly in obedience, not to be baptized in order to wash sin. He's the sin washer, but to show baptism is the right thing to do. It identifies you with God. He willingly surrendered himself. No one took his life. He willingly went to the cross. And then what did they do? They took his body down and they buried him. Even the Son of Man didn't have his own tomb. He had nowhere to lay his head, even in death. I want you to look at John 19 with me. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he may take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took the body. Nicodemus, who we are introduced to in John 3, you remember John 3:16? Jesus said that to Nicodemus, who was also a secret follower. Nicodemus, who first came to Jesus at night, came also in bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus, bound it in strips of linen with spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. And now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb, Joseph's tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. The other gospels would tell us it was a rock-hewn tomb, bore into the side of the mountain. You remember that when they placed his body there, they rolled the stone for fear that someone would steal it. But he's placed in this tomb, and he said he was laid there because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. You see, they did it hastily because no one actually expected Jesus to die so quickly. But when he died quickly on that Friday, we call it Good Friday, though it looks horrific to the world, it is the greatest gift, and it is so good. Because Jesus died quickly, they hurriedly got the spices and the strips of linen. Why? Because as the sun would set on Friday, this is now the Jewish Sabbath. No work can be performed. They hastily took him to Joseph's tomb. They placed him exactly where they knew. Many witnesses saw him go there, but they said, okay, after our Sabbath is over, at the next available light, we will need to go, ladies, are you paying attention? They saw where he was laid. We need to go finish the job. And they said, yes, we understand. Mary and Mary, others in the party. Yes, we understand. When would the sun be up next? Well, Friday would be considered one day. That's just the way the Jews count days. Even a partial day is a day. Saturday, all of Saturday where the sun is up is considered Sabbath until the sun goes down. But no one would dare go out to a place of death at night. And so the very next day, the third day, Sunday, we call it Easter Sunday, the ladies would go to the tomb to finish the job. And what would they see? They would see the stone rolled away. They would have angelic messengers talking to them. And I know you're going to love this one. They would see Jesus Christ risen and victorious, alive. And he would give them, amen, he would give them instruction to go and to tell his followers. In fact, listen to the angel's message of Mark 16. The angel said, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him, but go. Don't just stand around gawking. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Next week, one of the characters I'll play in the sermon is Peter. I'm going to be singing you Peter's song about what he must have been through. Imagine being Peter, the great denier. I'm going to sing you Peter's song, and he's going to go before you in Galilee, and you will see him. Look at this. As he said to you. Now let's keep going here. 1 Corinthians 15 again. For I delivered to you first, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. Paul does not stop there, friend. And that he was buried, laid down, and that he was what, church? Raised the third day according to what? The scriptures. The Bible said it would be this way. You don't get the crown without the cross. And so now he is risen, he is victorious, and guess what? He would minister on this earth some 40 days. In fact, he would minister at a time where people would see him, the disciples would see him, and what we find is that they began to be amazed. But Jesus said, look, boys, you can't just stand around gawking. And the angelic messenger said, no, 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 don't just stand around gawking, because Jesus needs to go back to the Father. In fact, if he doesn't go back to the Father, you can't receive the Holy Spirit, the parakaleo, the helper who will come. And so what is the story now? Jesus ascends back to the Father. And so your last picture on your drawing, we're going to do another nice fluffy cloud right here. That looked like a nice fluffy cloud. See the spirit above me right there? Look, here's the thing. I want you to get this down, because we've got incarnation, beginning of public ministry, step of obedience, willing surrender, being laid down in real death, burial, being raised to new life by the power of God, ascending back to the right hand of Almighty God. What you've just seen is a picture of the gospel. Look at Acts 1. And when he had spoken these things, Jesus, that is, they watched, he was taken up, and what? A cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, two men stood in white apparel, angelic messengers. They said, hey, fellas, what are y'all doing standing around here with your hands in your pockets? Quit looking up. You got work to do. This same Jesus who is taken from you into heaven will come again in like manner. But here's the good news, guys. It's like the water cycle. Follow me. Remember the water cycle? You have precipitation, then you have evaporation, and then it happens again and it keeps going. Well, Jesus is coming again in like manner, but he doesn't need to come as a willing sacrifice. He comes as a risen Savior, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, to rule and reign forevermore. This part is finished. Done. Paid in full. And so Jesus comes back. Jesus ascends. He's going to come back. And for every one of you who have trusted him, he said, I'm going to take you with me, that where I am, there you may be also. But those of you that don't know him, you will be, as the book series said, left behind. You can't go unless you know. You can't go unless you know. You must choose to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Now you said, okay, that's the gospel. Yes, it is, but it's also baptism. Would you follow me? Watch carefully. Every time baptism is described and every time baptism biblically is enacted, there is a going down into water, be it in a baptistry here with steps, be it in a swimming pool, be it in a lake, be it in the Jordan River itself. You go down into the water. There is a coming down, an incarnation of sorts. You stand publicly in obedience. That's why baptism is not and cannot be a private ordinance. No one is ever allowed to be baptized privately, nor can they baptize themselves. There must be another where they willingly surrender to the will of another to allow themselves to be laid down. Jesus said, no one takes my life. I willingly lay it down so that I can willingly pick it up. Baptism pictures willing surrender. It pictures burial. You can't picture burial with a sprinkled head or a poured on head. You must be buried in water. Jesus was down 3 days. The good news is when we baptize you, we're not going to hold you down quite that long unless your parents ask us to. We're going to hold you down just a little bit. And then what happens? Willing surrender, burial. Guess what? resurrected life. You come up from that water, raised to life, a new person, and then you come and walk up out of that water. You go down, you stand publicly, you willingly surrender, you are buried, you are raised, you come out of the water. Y'all understand? Say amen. So, I want you to teach this. I want you to share this, but the first thing I want you to do is obey this. Look at Romans 6. Do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death, we were immersed in his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Now watch this. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, God's not asking you to die for him. He's asking you to live for him. But the way that you demonstrate the likeness of his death is you go through the burial waters, not the burial tomb, the burial waters. And if we've been united in the likeness of his death, so shall we be in the likeness of his resurrection, because that old man was crucified. The body of sin was done away with, not by the water, but by the blood. Jesus' blood has cleansed us. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's not baptism water that cleansed. It's the blood of Christ that cleanses. Nothing you've done, everything he's done. And he who has died has been freed from sin. And if we died with Christ, we believe we'll live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Friend, death no longer has dominion over him. When he comes again, he is risen King of kings, risen Lord of lords. And Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And this is our task. Watch. Baptizing them. We baptize because Jesus said, baptize. We do it because he said, do it. You say, well, I don't understand it. Well, Bubba, I can't help you. God's not asking for your understanding. He's asking for your obedience. Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Why? Because all three members of the triune Godhead are God. So we acknowledge God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he said, then, as you baptize them, I want you to teach them to observe all things I've commanded you. And he makes this great promise, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, amen. And so what we have seen here is both the gospel, incarnation, beginning of public ministry, willing surrender, sacrifice, burial, death, resurrection, life, ascension back to God. But it is also the picture of baptism. Down into the water, standing publicly before witnesses, willingly surrendering to another, being buried, willingly buried, being raised to new life, and then emerging again and walking forth in new life. That's why I've titled this, Raised to Life. Now, some of you get it. Some of you have been saved, baptized after that by immersion. You know that you know that you know. But some of you, you are uncertain of your salvation today. Some of you watching, you're just not sure. And if you were to die today, you have no idea if you'd actually go and spend eternity with God in heaven. Why would you leave in doubt? You say, Pastor, I didn't come prepared to do this today. It's okay, because Jesus is ready and so is this church. We're ready for you to make a decision. We're ready for you to trust in the Lord. Some of you, you really do believe, but you know down deep in your heart you've never been biblically baptized by immersion. You know down deep in your heart that maybe your wetness, baptism, is out of order. I would submit to you, if you got wet in a baptistry, a lake, a pool, a pond, a river, and you weren't actually saved yet, then you've never been baptized. You need to come in obedience today and get the order of your baptism right. Friends, at Grace, we don't do rebaptisms. We do baptisms. And so if you have been uncertain about your faith, you can nail it down today and be certain. I want to make sure you also have a way to share what you've heard here and what you've learned with somebody that needs to see it and hear it this week. I think everybody in the room can probably do this in some form or fashion with your pen, your lipstick, your mascara, and that's just the guys I'm talking about. No, I want you to make sure that you share this truth this week, but I need to do something right now, something I almost never do in church, but God has led me to do it, and we saw great fruit already this morning from it. And so I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads. I'm going to ask you to be respectful and not look around. The camera will stay focused only on me. And I'm going to ask you this question. Do you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior? Are you positive you have trusted Him as the Son of God, as the Savior, that His once-for-all sacrifice is fully sufficient, and you are not attempting to work your way to heaven, but you have surrendered? If not, I'm going to pray a prayer. There's nothing mystical or magical about it. You don't have to use the exact same words. But the Bible says you must believe in your heart. You must then confess that belief to God. And in so doing, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, with all sincerity and seriousness in this moment, you have seen the gospel. You have seen the picture of believer's baptism. If you need to nail it down today, as I pray aloud, would you please pray with me something like this? Dear God, I believe Jesus is your Son. I believe you sent Him to be Savior of the world. I know that I am a sinner, and I know my sin separates me from you. But this morning, I want to turn away from sin and turn to Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to follow Him. I want to obey Him. I want Him to lead the rest of my life. And I look forward to seeing you one day, face to face in heaven. Thank you, God, for saving me. I have prayed this prayer truly believing in Jesus' name, with head still bowed and eyes still closed. If you were sincere and you prayed that prayer believing, you meant it, you know you meant it, I'd like you to do something for me again. Cameras are only on me. I need you to raise your hand right now, all over the room. Go ahead. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Go ahead. In the balcony, keep them up for a minute. I need to look. It's a big room. Thank you. Keep them up for a minute. Okay. Thank you. That's quite a few more than the first hour. Thank you for that. You may put them down. With your head still down, I need to ask you a question, and you're the only one that knows this, like some sweet, precious people last hour. Have you been baptized according to the Bible's teaching? Have you followed Christ in immersive baptism after belief? Now, those of you that raised your hand, the answer's no, because you just indicated you prayed to receive Christ. So you then need to take the next step of obedience. But is there anybody else in the room that would say, Pastor, you know, I need to get my baptism in order. I got wet when I was little, but I got saved later. Or, you know, I've just never followed Christ in an immersive believer's baptism. If that's you, I need you to slip your hand up all over the room. Go, right now. Keep them up for a minute, please, so that I can thank you. Keep them up so that I can see you. I'm looking at quite a few hands again, guys. Keep them up, please. Mostly adults, which is what I expected. Okay, anyone else? Put them back down, and I want every head up and every eye open. I know you didn't come to Grace Baptist Church today thinking, you know what, I'm going to get baptized. But Jesus knows more than you. And Jesus knows more than me. And your lack of preparedness means we needed to be doubly and triply prepared. And so today, I'm going to play a video. It's a short, sweet, wonderful video. I have decided to follow Jesus. And I have pastors and counselors ready to help you as they did last hour. You say, I have nothing to wear. Wrong. You get a free t-shirt. It'll cover anything you've got. Don't worry about it. You get shorts. You get towels. You get, some of you are like, oh, my hair. Yeah, me too. You get a brush. You get drying implements. You get everything you could need. Do not let the enemy whisper in your ear, you can't today. you've got lunch plans today. Your obedience to God is more important than your lunch plans. Plus, chances are you'll get out of here to keep your lunch plans anyway. I need you to be obedient to what the Bible says. In the scripture, we know no such thing as belief. And then wait, months, years, wait, baptism. We know no such thing. What we find in the Bible is, in fact, right opposite. We find they believe and were baptized. And he believed and she believed and they were baptized. And today we have pastors and counselors ready to help you. If you've made a decision for Christ, that was quite a few hands in the room. You need to come because God saw your hand, but more importantly, he saw your heart. If you said, my baptism's not quite right, you need to come. Some of you may be fearful to raise your hand. Maybe you knew, Pastor Bobby's probably going to call us. I did, and I will, because Jesus told me he has all authority. Jesus said to make disciples and start by baptizing them. This is setting you on the road to discipleship. I wear this ring because I want you to really know I love my wife and I'm committed to her. I am not ashamed to show the world of my covenant and my commitment to one. Baptism says you are not ashamed to show the world your covenant and your commitment to one, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much for watching us today. God is doing absolutely amazing things in and through our Grace Baptist Church family. If you'd like to share anything the Lord is doing in your life, feel free to reach out to us through our website or our app. And if you're ever in the Knoxville area, come by and worship with us and our family of faith here at Grace Baptist Church.